You're listening to Magic Indulgence from More Than, the insurer that does more.
And welcome to another Magic Indulgence Sunday evening here at Magic. I'm Steve Priestley, and our special guest this evening, looking forward very much to the next 60 minutes in the company of Mr. Billy Ocean. Billy, good evening to
you. Hi, Steve. How are you doing, man?
I'm very good. Lovely to see you.
Thanks for the invite.
It's an absolute pleasure. Really looking forward to hearing all about what you're doing at the moment. Okay. Some great music choices from you as well. The first of which is Louis Armstrong and What a Wonderful World. Well, Billy, as you know, this show is all about you and your music choices. We kicked in with a bit of Louis Armstrong there. What does that mean to you? Because he's the master, isn't he?
Well, yeah, he's a master. I mean, I got turned on to Louis Armstrong as a little boy through my mother. She loved him. And she loved What a Wonderful World while she was still with us. But she's obviously passed away now, and he's also passed away. So I hope they've met each other, and she's complimented him on that beautiful song and the beautiful happy memories.
Yes, yeah, so very, very happy family memories for you, hearing it in the family household.
That's right. I hear it now. Every time I hear that record, I think of my mother.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, look, let's talk about you, because this is the show tonight. This is about Billy Ocean. Now, we've never met before, that's for sure. Right. You had a whole string of hits years and years ago. You're back again. What on earth have you been doing in the interim, Billy? Where do you start?
Yeah, where do I start? I mean, nothing really musical, but yet, you know, I built a studio in Grenada, you know, preparing myself, I guess, for times like this. I got involved in a bit of property. I got involved. The main thing was really, you know, spending time with my family, my kids, growing up with them, making sure everything is okay. It wasn't meant to be so long, but, you know, time flies.
And that's the music business, isn't it?
You know, exactly. Mm. But now the eldest one, she's out there with me, because I've been touring all last year. I'm at present sort of 90% through an album. She's been helping me. She sings with me, and she's one of the backing vocalists. She was with me up to yesterday in the studio, you know, putting on some vocals. And I'm enjoying myself a lot more than I did the first time around.
Keep it in the family. Yes, this is the way to do it, isn't
That's
it?
Right.
See, I know you were born in Trinidad. And when did you come to the UK?
I was 10 years old when I came.
Well,
I'm 58 now, so.
So you feel honorary British by
a
long way.
Yeah, what, 48 years ago? Wow.
Good grief.
That's a long time, isn't it?
When you go back to the Caribbean, particularly Trinidad now, because Trinidad particularly has changed an awful lot,
hasn't it, with the advent of tourism and everything, do you feel like a
hometown hero when you get back?
Yeah, I mean, people recognise you and, hey, Billy Boy.
That's one that hasn't reached London yet, isn't it?
Billy Boy. Well, it's great. I mean, it's nice because, you know, they show you a lot. In fact, I get a lot of respect for what I've done, what I've achieved.
I'm sure. Well, look, let's get into another of your music choices here. And we know we're going to talk about this. This is Boyzone and Baby Can I Hold You, we're about to play. Tell us about this one for you.
Well, I chose this one, not only because I actually do like the, I like the song by the original singer. I think it was Shipman?
Tracy Chapman?
Tracy Chapman. Yeah. Shipman.
Yeah. We play that one on Magic.
But also because they covered When the Going Gets Tough, and it made it a second time number one for a couple of weeks, and, you know, I've been saying thanks to them ever since.
What goes around comes around.
Exactly.
Billy, this is going to be a piece of cake. It's perfect. It's just what we need. Brenda Russell there, and the beautiful Piano in the Dark on Magic Indulgence at Magic 105.4. Now, Brenda, as far as I know, Billy only had sort of one big hit here in the country. What does it mean to you?
Brenda means a lot to me in the sense of that. During the time of Caribbean Queen and thing, before I had my little sabbatical, I did some touring with her. I went to her home. We sat around the piano, you know, myself and the other musicians, and we were singing, I don't know, maybe all through the night. We kept her mother up. But anyway, the mother was happy and everything. It was just a nice vibe, a lovely lady.
We were talking about you touring last year. Obviously, this is still a hugely enjoyable part of what you do.
Yes.
Obviously, you're still bursting with energy, the spring chicken you are in your mid to late 30s, I'm guessing.
Well, 28 between us.
And when you get up on stage, do you still get that fantastic rush that you had all those years ago?
Yeah, I get very nervous.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, I still get nervous.
Surprisingly, before every show.
Before every show. I cannot help that. I mean, you know, when you think about it, you're going out. Okay, you're not going out to strangers, but on that particular time, you know, you're not a stranger to them. they are aware of you, but they're strangers to you in the sense of that you don't know anybody in the audience except maybe one or two people.
Yeah.
And of course you got to be nervous.
And it's almost like they paid money to see you. Entertain
right.
us.
Entertain us, right. And yeah. some nights you really have to work
yeah.
for it.
You got
to
be worth the yeah, ticket
you,
price.
Oh, sometimes you got to work for it, but I take all that in my stride, really.
What are the London crowds like?
Good, good. I mean, I did last year Hammersmith here. What do you call it? Hammersmith.
Apollo?
Apollo, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. I did Birmingham. I did Essex. And I did somewhere else, Manchester, I think it was. And all the shows went well enough for me to be doing even more again this year coming up.
Perfect.
You know, so...
Let's talk about Toni Braxton, Unbreak My Heart. What an artist this yeah. Toni Braxton is.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I don't know too much about her in the sense of, you know, as an artist, but I do love this particular track, and I do love the way she sings it, and I've seen her, and she's an amazing, amazingly beautiful girl. Yes.
A Sunday evening indulgence at Magic 105.4. I'm Steve Priestley, really enjoying catching up with Billy Ocean after all of these years. And Billy, the main reason you're here tonight is to talk about this album that you've contributed to,
yeah.
Wilberforce, which is obviously named after William Wilberforce,
that's
who's
right.
the English politician
that's right.
who headed the parliamentary campaign against the British slave traders 200
that's right.
years ago.
That's
or something.
Right. Well, you know, very considerate man, very very important man in our history, in black history, and not just black history, white history, because... You know, I always feel that slavery was one thing that, you know, there was the people who were being enslaved and there were people who were enslaving them. And I feel that we both suffered in one way or the other. We both suffered, you know. I got involved in this project because I just think it's, for many reasons, because of the emancipation, but I also got involved in it on a sort of educational basis to the extent that there's so many of our young kids out there,
yes.
especially black kids.
Don't know
I
the
mean,
history.
Last year, I don't know, something about 10 or 11 of them were stabbed, killed, whatever. They don't know their history. So it's nice to have things like this for them to know their history, know where they're coming from, know where they're going to. You should not put things like this under the carpet. These
no.
things are educational things for mankind.
Absolutely.
For us, yeah.
And it's come at a good time. And I'm looking through
that's
the
right.
album. There's a bunch of artists. It's quite an interesting mix, actually, because there's
that's
some
right.
that I certainly wouldn't know. Nice to see the return of Andrew Roachford on here.
That's right.
And
from that's
his
right.
Cuddly Toy and
that's
Family
right.
Man and
Family
all those
Man,
songs. Yeah.
yeah. Ruby Turner, who I know very well.
This is the one we
yeah.
want to play.
Yeah.
You're doing, I guess it's a cover of You've Got a Friend, is it?
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful song. And
as you know, myself and Ruby shared the same label for a while.
Oh,
Jai.
Did you? Right, okay.
I also produced a hit for Ruby back in, I can't remember when, was the Staple Singers, Come Go With Me.
Got it. So she's
if
doing
you're
well.
Ready. Well, I hope so.
She's
I'd like
keeping
to,
well.
Yeah, I'd like to. I haven't seen her for a while, but as far as I heard, she's doing all right.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, let's play the song. And this is from Wilberforce, 2007. Change is going to come.
Thank you.
Say that again, sorry. It's actually called Wilberforce 200.
Ah,
Wilberforce.
Did I see 2007?
Yeah,
yeah,
2002.
You did.
Okay.
And I think there's something about the
release date.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Right.
I'll just
yeah.
do very quickly. Okay.
Okay.
So this is it. Ruby Turner from Wilberforce 200, released on March 24th. And the wonderful You've Got a Friend. Also on the album, Billy, you've done a version of Chained, which
why
did you choose this one?
Well, I wrote it basically. I wrote it with the musical director who helped to you know put this whole thing together. The lyrics some people might find to be very direct, but it's the truth. It's not the sort of topic that I would intentionally choose for Billy Ocean.
Okay.
You know,
but if you're ever going to do something like that, this is the moment, isn't
it? Oh, yeah,
it?
Exactly.
Yeah?
Exactly.
And they put you at top of the album, so they
right.
must like it. You're the first track when you put it in.
I hope so. But, I mean, you know, a lot of artists, maybe in my position, would sort of shy away from it. I don't want to get involved in this political thing. But, you know, I don't see... I mean, you cannot hide from yourself. You shouldn't run from yourself. You should show responsibility in the way you feel about things. Don't bury your head in the sand.
And as you get older, I guess these things become more and more important as well.
Very, and not only more important, but you become braver.
And wiser.
And wiser. You know, whereas a few years ago, I'd probably be thinking, I don't want to get involved in this. But now, you know, it's we have so much to say in so little time. So we have to say it when the opportunity arises.
Oh, perfect. What a soundbite. What a soundbite. Come on. Now, because I'm on a roll with this, it'd be really nice, because we're talking about direct messages, whatever, it'd be really nice to play Bob Marley here.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Just
good,
move him
good
up.
Move, good
exactly,
move, so. Good move, good move. Especially the title of it is ideal.
Precisely.
Yeah, so, ideal.
So I was in a quick magic indulgence. Okay. Then. Well, it's Magic Indulgence at London's Magic 105.4. Very good to have you with us this evening. I'm Steve Priestley talking to Billy Ocean. Now, Billy, we were just talking about messages, very important messages, yes, and becoming older and wiser and not shying away from potentially
sort of, you know,
and potentially sensitive subjects.
That's right.
He's a man that never shied away, I think
that's
it's
right.
fair to say. We're going to play some Bob Marley in a moment. Right. Now, what an incredible man. And
yes.
I must just say that I went out to Jamaica a few years ago and saw 9 Mile, his old house is 9 Mile, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that island absolutely adores him. Obviously, he's revered all over the world.
Oh,
but
yeah.
there is a man that has the most incredible messages and just told it like it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I might sound ridiculous saying this, but really and truly, Bob Marley for me woke up a generation. Bob Marley for me helped to make not just me the kind of person that I am as far as how you see things, mm-hmm. right? He woke up a whole generation around my age. For me, sometimes I say to myself, you know, for what the man did and for the message he brought, not just to the black people, but for the world, I see him as a sort of a prophet.
Absolutely. Sometimes there's people that go beyond a musician.
Yeah.
Maybe Sir Paul McCartney you could put in the same bracket, almost rewrote a soundtrack for a generation of people.
Exactly. You know, the people that woke up people's imagination, they give you food for thought. They made you take a look at yourself. They made you take a look at the world. You know, they made you... You know, in the case of Bob Marley, really, he almost made me read my Bible, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah,
because that amazing.
It made you look around you, made you look into yourself. You were talking about Jamaica. I only just came back from there maybe about 3 weeks ago. I went to do the Jamaica Jazz Festival. It was good.
Great country.
It's one of my favorite countries.
Yeah,
and Jamaican
beautiful.
People, I love them anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're very positive people there.
They're very positive.
Very, very positive people.
So asking for a favorite Bob Marley is obviously virtually impossible, but we're going to play one with a very special message, One Love.
One Love, perfect. Perfect. Because Bob Marley's, a lot of people interpreted Bob Marley's message as being racial. Well, I wouldn't say that. Very conscious lyric. And then what does he have to be racial about? He was half and half. He was mixed. He was half black, half white. So, you know, what's he kicking against? I just think he was just sent to deliver a message for us who wants to take notice of it. Great. He turned me on to people like His Majesty, Haile Selassie, Ethiopia. And I rather those positive thoughts in my head and in my body than the negativities that is around us that we are educated into.
Perfect.
Nice.
I love Jamaica. I thought it was fantastic.
Beautiful place.
Great. That's such a beautiful country.
Is it up where you belong?
Nice one, Al. Remember, I'm the presenter here, okay?
Steve.
I remember just walking down the beach in Jamaica and there's this woman's going, she just looked at me and she went, "Darling, are you looking for a little love beneath the palm?" It's like, oh, that sounds so great. You'll hear it be, "All right, love, you up for a bit."
You know? Yeah, it's different, isn't it? And it's done with humour, it's done with affection, it's done with...
Exactly.
You know?
Oh, I loved it, absolutely loved it.
Hey, you know, my mum went to that...
Jamaica?
No, she went of her own accord.
Oh, fair for that. That's a... joked as old as the sun and I fell for it.
oh dear me.
Good though, great. Terrible. I mean, but isn't that it just shows you the what's what I'm looking for? It's English.
Oh,
the
so
humour,
so
you know,
so English, yeah.
Very, very
wordplay.
Yeah, the word,
love,
that's a word.
Love
yeah,
it, don't
yeah. Excellent, excellent. Wordplay, that's a word, you're perfect.
Bit of Joe and Jennifer then, I reckon. Well, it's Magic 105.4. I'm Steve Priestley here with Billy Ocean.
Billy Ocean, I'm here.
You get back, okay, to your house. You've obviously been travelling a lot over the last year or so. What goes on at home in terms of music? Is there anything that you particularly adore? I mean, obviously, Bob Marley's right up there.
At home, where you mean?
Absolutely. Something
in England,
you put on? Yeah, absolutely. To relax when you get home.
You know, a lot of my music is still really and truly from, you know, the old period, the Marvin Gaye's, the Otis Reddings, the... You know, the Rita...
Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder, yeah. Because, I mean, that sort of music was done with passion. That sort of music was done in collaboration with human beings.
Yeah.
Now we sort of, I mean, even man,
well, I get a bit of a dig at the reality shows there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, right? Well, I even get caught in you know, in the modern day process of recording
of course.
Computers and things, because you have to go with the flow. But I mean, to me, the music and that came out of that period and those people, they were truth. They were true.
Oh, true. Incredible.
Yeah, they were true, you know.
And you look back now and you think, I wonder whether people will be talking about today's music in 30, 40 years. I somehow doubt it.
I don't think so. I mean, there'll be one or two survivors. There always will be. But I don't think so. I think they will be going back to what we like.
Yeah.
Or loved, yeah.
The absolute class
stuff.
Yeah,
oh yeah, oh yeah.
Let's do some Joe Cocker and Jennifer Warnes talking about class and up where
that's
we
right.
belong.
That's right.
Well, where does this take you to when you hear this?
Well, this is really, I mean, I do like the single. I do love this thing, but it's really, I love Joe Cocker from, you know, I've done a couple of things with him in the past. You can't, it's very few records that really come up to the passion of A Little Help From My Friend.
Oh,
it's
incredible,
one of the,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of the greatest covers of all time, probably the greatest cover of all time.
The guy with such a unique, sort of gravelly, really raw voice, hasn't
that
he?
That voice, that, you know, it's like, It's not a voice, and yet it's one of the greatest voices in the world. It's funny, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, the passion that goes in there.
And we should big up Jennifer Warnes as well,
yeah,
just in case she feels left out.
Of course I'll big her up, you know. But of course I'll bring her up. But I wonder, you know, if she had done this song with anyone else, would it be the same thing?
Exactly.
I somehow don't think so.
No, absolutely.
I really don't think
so. Well, here it is. Beautiful song. Billy, let's talk about plans, because we're all making plans.
That's right.
And, what have you? Is there anything, any stone left unturned at this time of your life? Anything you want to do? Anyone you've ever wanted to work with that hasn't happened yet?
Well, I really, the stone I'm turning right now is my own project, which is an album I'm working on, which I've been working on between the year before last year. I'm still, you know, I'm doing my finishing touches. Overdubs, strings. I did strings last week. I did extra backing voices this week. 2 weeks' time, I'm doing brass and thing. Just slowly getting everything together. Hope to finish it middle of March, end of March. Release around June, July. And I'm enjoying myself doing it.
And how's the passion? Is it still really fired up in you?
Yeah.
That you're as passionate about music as
you
ever were?
Yeah, I still enjoy writing a good song, please God. And I still enjoy singing, getting in front of in the microphone. I'm enjoying the stage work more than I did the first time. All the sort of, still get nervous before I go on, but all the sort of, I mean, even things like this would be like before coming to do an interview, Steve Radio, I'd be thinking, oh my God, well, you know, now it's like I'm doing them naturally, and I think it's because of experience, age, you know, confidence, whatever.
Exactly, you just have to move on and get on with
it,
don't
you? Just have to get on and
do it. Do you sing in the shower?
Occasionally.
Your own songs?
Okay. Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Sometimes.
Mostly
other people's songs. I mean, mostly when I get in the shower, I just use the advantage of being in there just to warm up.
Yeah. We should probably stop this conversation now. Billy Ocean's Shower Favourites will be released towards the end of the year. But in the meantime, we're going to have Cyndi Lauper's Time After Time.
That's right.
She's made some beautiful songs, hasn't she?
Right.
Any sort of memories of Cyndi Lauper when this first came
out? Yeah, I like Cyndi a lot. I actually like her voice. I actually like her image. You know, it's like this sort of crazy, you know, crazy sort of... it's like she reminds me of somebody that never will grow up.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
But my memory of her is that in Japan, going back a few years ago, we were both doing TVs or thing, whatever, and I met her in the airport, and we swapped toys because the Japanese in those days used to give you little toys to thing. So I've still got the toys she gave me all those years ago. I hope she still has mine. You know, and I love her music, especially this particular one, Time After Time.
That's a good story, isn't it?
That's brilliant.
Yeah, that's really good. It's like a little Tamagotchi thing.
It was a little bear or something like this. Yeah,
it's Japanese. It's such a different culture, isn't it?
That's right.
So Dock of the Bay there from Otis Redding. Another great song, Billy.
Yeah, another great artist. I mean, it's people like that really I learned from. I mean, my what's the word I'm looking for? My apprenticeship and learning in my studies in music was, say, really started off when I came here as a little kid from Calypso and things from that. Then I came here and there was the Beatles and the Stones, and then American music started coming over, which I thought, wow, you know, this is amazing music. And Otis Redding was one of them. Sam Cooke, of course, then later became, you know, specialists like Marvin Gaye. Wish to me was like the most brilliant of all.
Well, he was a god, wasn't
he? Oh, yeah,
he?
Thank
he
you really very much. Brilliant. Yeah, I mean, his understanding of music, his understanding of harmonies, his understanding of delivering it, I mean, unbeatable. So, fortunately, I was around in a period where I learned from the best.
And do you get back to the Caribbean these days as much as you'd like to?
Oh, yeah, I go back quite often because, especially while I was doing the album, I've got a studio back there in Grenada, so I make very good use of it. It's a good excuse for going back.
It's a great excuse, isn't it? Do you honestly spend time in that studio? Has anybody else seen that studio? Or is it a sun lounger plonked in front of the beach somewhere?
No, I do. Well, I do.
You have to bring in a picture of it next time. That's right. We'll believe you. We'll check on your website and have a look, shall we? But in the meantime, well, it's been an absolute pleasure
talking to you. Thank you very much, Steve.
And it's only right to close out with one of the best. I know you listen to Magic.
Thank you very much.
And this is one of the ones that everybody, whenever we play, there's always a huge response from our listeners. Love Really Hurts Without You. Is this one of your big time great memories of your
career? Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you can't, there are two good memories of records I have. The Love Really Hurts, which brought me out, you know, and then there's a Caribbean Queen, which sort of given the world recognition. And your radio station, I'm not just saying this, is my wife's favorite radio station. So she knew exactly. She was telling me, they can tell you to do this, and they're going to tell you to choose some songs, and you better be prepared. In fact, she's the one that said to me, when you choose a song, make sure you have a story to go with it. So she actually knew more than I did. So
I think my producer's just become redundant. Mrs. Billy Ocean, we love you. He can come back anytime, and you can too. Billy, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very
have
much.
Have a fantastic
Steve.
Year. And do enjoy your future projects.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Magic Indulgence with More Than, indulging you with its personal customer manager service. You can download this interview in full at magic.co.uk/podcasts.